Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, like the man said, hosting Right Side Radio, solid and conservative, and just plain right. It is Friday, y'all. It is Friday all day long. It is Friday, which means tomorrow is Saturday, and that is always good news. And Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Nice to have you in studio, although now I can see you chomping your chocolate in front of me.
That's right. Now with the caffeine and the chocolate, it is like live and in your face. That's right. It's true. I actually do have... Look, Copper, I got all the paper. When I say I have paper, do I have paper?
Oh, yeah.
I'm laid out right here. I probably burned some trees. You know what? That's probably the environmentalists would probably just hate me because I can kill some trees apparently with this show. But I prepare, y'all. I mean, I literally prepare every single day, and there is plenty to prepare for right now. And here's today's going to be a mix. I mean, I got two topics that I feel like they're unavoidable. You know what I'm saying? It's important today that we deal with two major issues. And if we have time, I got some sidebar stuff that I might want to pull up. Yeah, I've got all the paper, like I said. But the two things that we've got to deal with, one is this amazing speech that the President of the United States gave yesterday on vaccine mandates. Yeah, I'm going to unpack that for you here in a few minutes. I said I would. I tweeted it out earlier. And then the other thing, though, we got to deal with, we got to talk about, we got to relate to a little bit, is the fact that this weekend is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and I want to talk about that some, but I want to talk about it on a personal level. And so even then, I'll just tell you right now, my sweet wife Charlene is going to call in at 4, and we're going to talk through, you know, what the impact of 9/11 was on our family. You know, what did we experience? But then I also would love to hear from y'all later in the show too. So keep that in mind, you know, after Charlene's on from 4 to 4:15, 4:30, somewhere in there, we'll probably open the phone lines up, and I'd love to hear from y'all in that regard. But those two topics, vaccine mandates and 9/11, and I'll be honest with you, let me just say this right up front. I think that every single decision that government makes that impacts people, which is pretty much every decision, it ought to start from the standpoint of freedom. It should start with freedom and liberty. Every time a government bureaucrat, a government elected official makes a decision, it should start from a personal standpoint of how does this impact liberty and freedom? And yet here we are talking about vaccine mandates. And that's what they are, by the way. They're mandates. It's amazing. And I listen, by the way, when I watched the speech, I could not help but think of my buddy Bobby likes to say, he'll say this, I've heard him say it more than once. He goes, there's two things that I know for sure. Number one, there is a God. And number two, I'm not him. And I agree with that. In fact, I resemble that remark. But President Biden, not so much. I mean, he seems to believe that all of heaven and earth surrounds him and that he can do all things and he can mandate even more. The funny thing, though, my faith involves free will. You know, God says he has plans for me. He did not say he had mandates for me. There is a matter of choice involved, a matter of free will involved. President Biden, not so much. And this matters, y'all. I mean, this is beyond anything I have ever seen, and I don't say that lightly. The idea that with an angry tone, the president can go to the podium and rail against over half the nation and accuse people of causing widespread death and mayhem and threaten them with the loss of their jobs and mandate that they run their companies in such a way that may even decrease their productivity or lose their staff or else. Now, I've heard it all before, some of the callers even yesterday. Oh, Phil, we have government restrictions in everyday life all around us. Really? Do we? Well, let's peel back that onion just a bit, because I want to take some time right now to equip you for the conversations that I guarantee you, if you haven't already been having them, you're about to. If you want to say something on social media, take some notes. I'm about to give them to you. If you want to have that water cooler conversation or deal with somebody or call into the show at some point, understand President Biden gave us his 6-point plan for COVID. I'm about to give you my 7-point response. So listen, understand this, that for all the reasons that I'm about to cite, this mandate is not likely to go into effect anytime soon. Just be honest. Maybe ever. And here's why. Number one, first off, don't compare this vaccine mandate abomination with the overly simplistic notion of something like wearing a seatbelt when you drive. It is not the same thing. That is a fallacious argument. All right? Government restrictions on life are always and should always be de minimis in their scope. The least intrusive options. Pulling a piece of cloth across your shoulders when you get in the car is not the same thing as mandating that someone absorbs chemicals into their system. And truthfully, you can take the seatbelt off and live on the edge if you want to, but you cannot undo a vaccine injection. And you cannot necessarily just go replace your job if you lost it because the government said so. And you cannot necessarily reconstitute your bank account after having to pay exorbitant fines because you didn't get vaccinated in the timely fashion that they wanted you to. Number two, hey, liberals, what happened to that whole choice thing? You know, a woman's body is her own, the right to make her own medical determinations. Well, I got news. The same arguments that liberals are making to refute the duly passed law in Texas that limits abortions, which was upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States, is being attacked right now on the basis of reserving the right to choose, but not for vaccines. No choice for you. No choice for you is like the soup Nazi. No choice for you. Listen, you're either for choice or you're not, right? And if you're going to say that someone has a right to their own medical determinations and the right to their own use of their body, then you cannot turn back around and say, except when I say so. It doesn't work like that. That's point number two. Number three, once again, it's apparent that President Biden is no respecter of long-held legal precedent. I'm an attorney, and I review this thing sometimes from an analytical or a legal perspective. He just recently had his political keister handed to him on a platter by the Supreme Court. You remember that? Just 2 weeks ago, after he so cavalierly stated in his usual whispery way that his legal advisors had largely told him he could not extend that eviction moratorium that was causing property owners left and right to face bankruptcy. He just did it anyway, you know, because he could. So this same president, oh, by the way, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't. So this same president, who is no respecter of legal precedent, has chosen to have all of his new mandates about vaccines put in place and enforced by OSHA under the guise of what they call an emergency testing standard. But a National Review article that I read last night late says, literally, while OSHA has the authority to set certain health and safety standards in the workplace, it would be stretching its authority to claim that it can be used as a means to facilitate broader public health goals. And it reminded me that back in 1983, OSHA was struck down by the courts for trying to do the same thing about asbestos. So we have legal precedent already, but he can't contain himself, Mr. President Biden. He seeks what he wants regardless of the legalities. All right, that's three. Number four, there's this whole concept about state rights. I mean, what to do when your duly elected governors and state legislatures have actually passed laws, real laws, not just paltry executive orders, which, by the way, is what he's doing. Keep in mind, he is putting regulatory burdens and executive orders in place and calling them law, and they are not. But the state legislatures and the governors, to include Alabama, which passed a no vaccine passport bill, we have actual laws in our states. You see, there's this little thing called the Constitution, and we also have the Bill of Rights, and this nice little proviso called the 10th Amendment, a little old concept that states have a sovereign, yes, a sovereign right to the enactment of laws that, if not otherwise contravened by federal laws, actual laws, not executive orders, that such powers not otherwise enumerated to the federal government shall be devolved, therefore, to the states. But yet President Biden literally said, and I quote, quote, if they'll not help, if these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way. Just literally shredding the concept of federalism. All right, that's four. Number five, what about jobs and the economy? Where did that priority go? I mean, the plan as proposed mandates that private companies with 100 employees or more will institute mandatory vaccines or weekly testing, and OSHA will mandate compliance and implement stiff financial penalties. These are provisions that will allegedly be paid for with or be made with paid time off for vaccinations being provided. Get that? Mandated paid time off for vaccinations. Well, what does that do to productivity? Paid time off doesn't keep the factory going, does it? What about people losing their livelihood? How about people losing their retirements? What about employers who have to take the time and go to the expense of weekly testing? Who pays for that? Who oversees it? What human resources staff even has time for that paperwork? And then what about employers that get assessed big, heavy fines, $14,000 per violation, we're hearing, and they wind up having to shut down and put their entire staff out of work? I tell you what people are going to do. The threshold is 100 employees. They're going to just cut it off at 99 and not deal with it and not hire people when they could have. All right, next point. I think we're on number six. Let's talk about hypocrisy for a minute. Can somebody please explain to me, here's the next point you need to consider, how it is that two major groups have scored a major exemption to this. Have you heard about this? The U.S. Postal Service is exempt. What? You mean over 600,000 employees of that massive labor pool, the ones who visit people's homes and offices and touch their mail every single freaking day? Oh, wait, that's right. The Postal Workers Union said no. Sure, okay. But then there's that other group, the one that no one in the Biden administration wants to even acknowledge exists. You know, the undocumented asylum seekers, those sweet, innocent border crossers, the ones that the Biden administration is placing all over the country. No mandatory shots at the border, Mr. President? None? Two major exempt groups. How do you get exempt? Well, apparently if you're here illegal or you're a postal worker, you're okay. And lastly, for now, this is a personal medical decision. I've always said, as a matter of fact, that I am not anti-vax. I have never said don't get a shot, literally. But this is a personal medical decision, one in which the government should not choose to place itself between a doctor and a patient. We have HIPAA laws that give you confidentiality, a right to privacy. We have a right to decline treatments if you want to. And when the AIDS epidemic hit the world, and that was traumatic, and I still remember it, did we mandate condoms? Did we mandate the use of experimental drugs? Did we start asking our coworkers if they had been tested? No. No. We learned to live with it. Now listen, the next thing you need to think about, though, is this is no longer a pandemic. This is endemic. It is among us. COVID is not going away. We're going to live with it. We're going to learn to thrive in spite of it. We're going to go to football games. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to work. And we are going to, by God, go to court on this issue if that's what it takes. This time, I'm just telling you, folks, draw that line in the sand. This one. This is a fight worth having. This is not about COVID. This is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you tell them to pound sand, right side ruffians. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, Copper, I'm fired up. Fired up. There's more where that came, folks. We're going to unpack this some more. There's things that have to be said. There's other articles. And I got all the paper. All the paper. But we're going to talk through it. And if you got some feedback, I'll probably open the phone lines up for too much longer. But, folks, this cannot stand. And I'm going to play some sound clips for you that if you didn't hear the president's speech yesterday, you're going to blow your mind. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.